Okay, now go to Job, please. Chapter 1. Because I think you know, I'm not sure, but I think you know the story of Job and the mindset of Satan. Because if we go back into eternity past, God made angels. It seems that angels were the first thing that he made. He made the angels. Then after that, he made the universe, and the angels saw that in Job 38:7. And the chief angel was Lucifer, and he was most beautiful, and he was the wisest, and he was a chief cherub, and he was the guy. He was the guy, you know, in heaven, you know, God, and there was Lucifer. Here's a principle. Every time when God has a relationship with another person, and we could say angels are like persons. They're not people, but they are like persons. They have a free will. They have emotion, and they have a mind, and they can make decisions. So every time he has a person, a relationship with something, he tests it. It's tested. Now, God himself is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are one. And the only time that was really tested that we know of was when Christ became a man. When Christ became a man, he was tested. Another time was when God made Adam and Eve. When God made Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and they were tested. So, testing is something that God does. When he has a relationship, he tests the relationship. And the reason why is because his character is the primary issue in life, the character of God, that his character would be seen. And one of the aspects of the character is, what is it when it's under pressure? What is it when things are not convenient? What is the nature of the thing when there is trouble? What is the nature of the thing when it can't have its own way? And when Lucifer was in heaven and he was tested, this is what God was looking for. Will you love me even when you are not beautiful? Will you love me even when you are not wise? These are my words. When you can have your way, will you know me and trust me? It's amazing to think that Lucifer could be in heaven and not know God. But it seems that's what happened. That he was in the presence of God, and he knew God in a way. I mean, he couldn't help but not being in heaven, and there is no sin. You would imagine that you would actually know, you would actually have a relationship. But there was something missing in that relationship, and that was that Lucifer really didn't know. Because if he had known, then we would assume that he would not have fallen. Like Jesus is the example of knowing the Father, and even being crucified, he would still trust the Father because Jesus knew the Father. But this idea is coming from Job chapter 1, because Satan said to God, verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? Doth Job fear God for naught?" Can you say that sentence in different words to your neighbor? What is verse 9 mean? But if you touch them, take it away, it'll curse you. Is it Arnie or Ernie? Ernie. Arnold. What did you want to say?
Praise God for a good reason.
Yes. That's the Abba. Does Job fear God for nothing? Actually, he is fearing you for something, a good reason. Yeah. What is the reason why Job is fearing God?
Because
he provides.
Yes, because if you give him $1 million, he's going to love you. You know, if you were even to have $1 million. If you always protect him, always pour your blessing out, then he's going to fear you.
Yeah.
But listen, God, this is Satan talking. Listen, God, I guarantee you, if you touch his stuff, if you take it away, he's going to curse you.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Job know? Why does Satan know this, believe this? Why does Satan believe this? Because that's what he is. He is that way. He was that way in heaven. Yeah, it seems that Lucifer was the wisest and the most beautiful in heaven. And it may be in the test that he had in heaven, God could have taken away some of that beauty or taken away some of that feeling of favor, or taking away the wisdom, the smartness that he had, or as some teachers say, you know, suggested that God would make man, and man would be above Satan, and Satan would be losing his place. What happens to you when you lose your stuff? That's a good thing to think about. What happens to you and me? What happens to us when we lose our stuff? Well, we struggle in our relationship. You know, God is looking for loyalty. And loyalty services when you lose your stuff, right? When we lose our stuff. And this is where friendship comes in. A friend loves at all times, you know. Hey, when my life isn't what I thought it would be, then I still have my relationship with God, you know. This is the meaning of 1 Corinthians 13, love, isn't it? Verse 10, Hast not thou made a hedge about him? I read in the Hebrew, it's a real barrier, even tough, even the idea of like barbed wire, like a real impenetrable barrier around Job. Like he was really protected. Isn't that amazing? How many want that in your life? Lord, give it to me and all my family. And what did Job want? He said, for all his family. And he was very sensitive about his family. And he would sacrifice and pray, because his family was very important to him. And God had put a hedge around him and his family. And you know how the story went. He ended up losing. Maybe this trial is the most severe in human history. Who knows? But to lose one child, just slowly, one, and give him a name, Jacob, Levi, Diana, and go through 10 and lose them all. You know what I mean? But there was a hedge, and Satan knew there was a hedge, and then it was taken away. All of us would say, please don't do that to me, Lord. Please don't. And of course, we all know that feeling. We all understand this. But let's get to something deeper. And that is not how much we want our life to be protected, but let's go to the place where we can actually know God. Because at the end of the story, he lived a longer life and he knew God and he had 10 more children and his life was full of days. God is the healer. God is the restorer of my soul. God has a way and love never fails. And he had to learn this. So loyalty is, verse 10. Hast thou made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he has on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land? Oh, it can be like that. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, God could make me prosper in every way. Oh, isn't that good? Increase and blessing and prosperity. But put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Satan, are you sure about that? Do you think so, that he will, that this will actually happen? Yes, Satan is sure. Why? Because he doesn't have the breadth. Because when I live in my sin, I get narrow. And I can project on you what I think, what I believe. I have a narrow mind. But when you walk with God, you realize with God all things are possible. And that actually it is possible for Satan to survive the trial and know God. And be exalted, promoted. It's possible. But Satan can't know that. Listen, be careful. When you say things about people, or you say things about the church, or you say things about God, be careful, because you may not know what you're talking about. Okay, let's take a moment and say that to your neighbor. You may not know what you're talking about.
That he loves me 14 years.
Wow. We're not going to talk about that.
He usually says, pow, straight to the bone, Alice.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 8:2. All right, listen. It is a problem in the church that our concept of God is small. It is a problem. It is a problem. It's not right. We have to get like stretching. Acts 13, when Peter was, I'm sorry, Acts, is it 13:10? It goes like this. Peter had the vision. He's Jewish. You're not eating unclean food. Peter has a vision, and this Spirit says, he sees the animals, and the Spirit says to Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And what did Peter say?
Nope.
Not so, Lord. It happened a second time. Rise, kill, and eat. And what did Peter say?
Nope.
Not so, Lord. No, not going to happen. Like, don't talk to God like that. Don't you? And Satan is talking to God. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't know really. And we have to be careful to not interpret your life through yourself. We have to understand life through God. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78:19. But like stretch, let God be stretched, you know, like a big God. I always love the story about Teddy Roosevelt. His wife died in childbirth. He was a young man, maybe 24. Teddy Roosevelt was devastated. His wife was a beautiful woman. Yeah, the baby survived, became his, you know, precious daughter. He was so depressed losing his wife, he went out west to be a cowboy. And he was like an intellectual, New York City, became governor of New York and president of the United States. But he was, as a young man, devastated. And he said, I would look up in the sky and just stare until I got real small. After 2 years of being a cowboy, he went back to New York and he started up again in his career. And he was a believer. And in the White House, he said he would do the same thing. He'd look up in the sky and look at it until he got real small. That's a cool little story. You know, we have to be careful with how much we get angry with God with regards to life. You know, be careful about that. Hebrews chapter 3. Don't let your heart be hardened when your life turns out the wrong way, because it can happen. Let's learn what it means to be loyal and just a friend and faithful to what God is saying and what God is doing. I say this not to condemn any of us, only to encourage us. Hope you hear it that way. Encouraging us, okay? Got it? Okay, go to chapter 1. We're almost done for this part, but we aren't in any hurry. Okay, I hope not. Chapter 1, verse 10, about the house, about all that he has. Where are we? 11. Yeah, 11. But put forth your hand and touch all that he has, he will curse you. And this is the verse. I just don't want the Lord to be talking to the devil like this. Verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. No, please. Anything but that. Now, listen. When you leave your home in the morning, do you say, my house is in God's hands? Right? When you get on a plane, do you say, my life is in God's hands, right? What do you about your grandchildren or children, what do you say? They are in God's hands. And wouldn't it be terrible if God said to Satan, all that he has is in your hand? Like, that's a horrible day, right? And I was thinking about Jesus. Jesus, God let Satan get so close to Jesus. Satan was in Judas. Satan was in the desert. Satan was in Herod. Satan is in the world system. And God let the devil go at Jesus. He let the devil go at Jesus. But there was one thing the devil could not get. And that was what Jesus was believing in his heart about his Father. This the devil couldn't change. If you crucify Christ, he is not changing. I trust my Father. If you take away his disciples, and the devil did, I trust my Father. Wow. This is the premier, the apex, the high level ground. This is the point about our lives. That when we suffer or we are in trouble, that we all understand that God is loyal to us, and in his nature, in his character, is that love. And he's put that in your heart and mine. And we enjoy it. You know, it's a beautiful thing. We can trust him, right? And that's the story. Let's finish. It says, verse 12, all that he has is in your power. And guess what happened? You know, poof. Flames are coming out of his house with him. Like raiders come, bands of evil men riding through the streets of Baltimore with their guns and knives. These men coming down the street, and it's Satan. And Satan murders and kills and destroys. And you say, no, that is evil. We would say, yes, it's evil. God allowed Satan to have the power over your stuff. Even he can take the life. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, turn the man over to Satan. The spirit saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, but that Satan would destroy his body. Isn't that amazing? But death and life comes from God. That's true. He's Almighty God. But Satan has power in this world. And that's a great lesson. I say this not that we would be afraid. I say it only to say this is like high-level Bible understanding. This is what the Bible is saying. And you won't hear it in the local prosperity doctrinal church. You know, like getting rich is God's will for all of us. Yeah. In this story, it looks like God gave Job's life to be destroyed. Not his life, but his stuff by the devil. And the devil did it. Roving bands of men, let's look at the list there. Verse 13, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding. The Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yes, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell you. There was always, the devil always had somebody escape the tragedy so that they can bring the bad news to Job. That sounds like the devil, right? Like, keep that guy alive so that he can bring the bad news to just bring pain into Job's heart. Bring the news. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consume them. I only am escaped. I'll tell you, I think maybe if this has never happened in your life, and I hope it never has, there are people that go through terrible, horrendous things in life. I don't know why. And you just say, praise God, that didn't happen to me. And we could say, amen. I don't know why it hasn't happened to me. I'm so thankful. At the same time, don't blame those people that are suffering. Because you don't know what it is that's causing the suffering. You might say, they have bad luck, or must be something they did in their previous life, or some other crazy idea. But be careful of that. And don't judge people, because you don't know why things happen. And for, you know, and just, you know, don't use their pain to kind of exalt yourself, but just say, there go I, but by God's grace, hallelujah, that hasn't been my experience. So we see it as the devil doing it, and God is allowing it. While he was yet speaking, 16, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, has burned up the sheep. Seems like he's always burning up the sheep. Didn't he burn up the sheep in 15 also? Or was it 16? And his servants consumed them. I only have escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans, another group, made out three bands, fell upon the camels, carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, 18, there came another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind. So we have, what do we have? Fire, right? Is it fire? In verse... Okay, we got the Sabians and the sword, is verse 15. We got the fire from 16. We got the bands, roving bands, in 17. And now we have the wind, a hurricane like in Miami. Okay, and the great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men. They are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Okay. There's a lot of detail there. I'm sorry I went into a little bit too much of that. But I just wanted to say something about loyalty. We could say, I just love to live my life without this kind of trouble. I don't want this kind of trouble. And if I could pray to God that I could live my whole life without this kind of trouble and tiptoe safely through life, you know, and make it safely to the grave, hallelujah, then I won. You know, as little of it as possible. But here's a thought. What if I could know God? What if the love of God in my heart would be so strong? What if my life could be enlarged by knowing God? Look at one last verse here, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's talking to Christians. You don't know God. And I speak this to your shame. You don't have the knowledge of God. You have to wake up to righteousness. This is a big word in our vocabulary. Righteousness, awake to righteousness, and know God, and sin not. No sin. You know, it's all. I'm amazed at the falling away of Christians in the United States from apostolic teaching, a falling away from what is sin. And you can see these Oprah Winfrey interviews or interviews with pastors sometime, and she will say directly, well, you don't speak about like social issues like abortion and homosexuality, And the pastor say, no, I don't speak about those things. Why not? Because it divides people. It's divisive and this type of thing. It's like, wow. Look at verse 34. Awake to righteousness, not self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Awake to it and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. So there is a falling away. When the homosexuality issue is like a big, you know, that the church is divided over that issue, like Anglican church split, Presbyterian church split, all these traditional churches are splitting over this issue. And where do you stand on it? And what do you think in your heart about it? And where is that coming from? It's not being judgmental. It's being righteous. It's being wise. It's knowing God. It's knowing our Bible. But I don't want to go to, if I preach about those things, this is the thing. If I preach about those things and people won't come to the church, well, then they don't come to the church.
Yeah,
I mean, what are we talking about?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, what is that all about?
Right.
I use that illustration about classic Coca-Cola. Have you heard me say that? Okay, whatever years ago, 20, Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola,
yeah.
You guys know this stuff?
Yes.
Okay, there was a contest, you know, which people like, and the young people like Pepsi Cola better or something.
Coke.
So Coca-Cola Company went after the idea and they made what they called, I think it was New Coke.
Yeah.
That New Coke. And it, they changed their recipe a little bit so that it would be more like Pepsi, something like this. Like a new Coke, you know. Well, the real Coke people got angry about it.
We did.
There's one of them here. And they're like, compromising, trying to please everybody, you please nobody. Okay, so they recanted. The Coca-Cola Company realized their mistake, and they went back and they called it Classic Coke. Right? Okay, so I think the same way about my life. I don't care whether they like the other way better. I got what I got, and I know what I got, and I like what I got. And I believe in what I got. And I believe there's a lot of people out there that want to have classic Coke.
Yes.
Yeah, classic God.
Preach it.
Yeah, preach it. Well, this is sad that the church would be confused about some of these issues. They are hearing, like we read, the world hears them, doesn't it? They speak from the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God, and they that are of God hear us. What's the us? That's those people that are knowing God, living in apostolic truth. I would like Job, after the trial is over, I'd love Job to be my pastor. Guys, I know that guy. That guy's got something. I can't believe that trial and how Satan was able to chew him up and spit him out. And he was able to say, though he slay me, I will trust him. Because God is looking for loyalty. And it's possible because Christ dwells in you. And because Christ is in you, you are able. And we just need to learn it, meditate on it, embrace it. And believe me, when you wrestle with God in that super wrestling match, okay? Sorry. When you are wrestling with God in that super, whoa, the American dream. Hey, wait a minute. Listen, when we are wrestling with God and he is saying, what is your name? That's like an honor to us.
Yeah.
that he recognizes us.
Amen.
You know? And we can say, my name is Job. And the Lord said, I got a plan for you. You may not like it, but at the end of the day, you're going to be an awesome person. You're going to know me.
Wow.
You're going to have something. You're going to be able to give love. Yes, serve. You're going to be my friend. And when you pray, I will hear you. And when you walk with me, I will be with you. And I will shower you with my blessing, and you will know me. That's an honor. And maybe at the end, the whole point of life is that one. It's not how many toys I got. It's how much we know what our Creator who made us and put us here. And I don't want to sound like I know the subject. I don't know the subject, but I'm very interested in it. I would love for Jesus to be in us in such a way that we really know it. And you know, here's another little thing. There's a 2,000 person church down the street, let's say. I don't really know where I am, so I don't know if that's the case or not. Okay, and they go into the parking lot, they go to the church, and they go away. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm thankful for it. I don't know much. I don't care. But I like also this. I grew up in a church that was on the fringe. I was down, figuratively, down the back alley, take two streets over, take a left, go up the staircase, and there's a little room with some cakes and coffee there, and a prayer meeting with about 13 people. And we would open the Bible and pray together and believe God and have a little vision for our community. And after a couple of hours of being together, it's time to go. You kind of tumble down the stairs with kind of joy in your heart. You're waving goodbye 20 times and caring about each other. And you're somehow excited because Jesus is with you. Which one do I want? I want the one that'll change my life. I want the one that'll speak to my heart. I want the one that'll really connect with me. And maybe the pastor of the big church is doing an awesome job and there's a great message there. Hallelujah. We hope so. We hope so. I'm not saying it in any way, but I am saying there are some believers that's all they, what they have is maybe a programs and like a nice message. But I got to get through. I want God to get me through. When he says one day, you know that guy down there that lives in Towson, Maryland? You can have his house. He says to Satan, you can have his house and his stuff. It's like, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And it happened, you know. And I just don't anticipate it. But I'm just trying to say something. The Christianity in the United States, and we are running the risk of being as deep as a coat of paint. That's all we got, is a coat of paint. We know the word, the Bible, we know the name of Jesus, and we live with God. And the minute my life doesn't go right, I'm angry at God, I'll never go to the church again.
Wow.
I'm angry with you, and don't talk to me about it. You know, so Holy Spirit is here, so that won't happen. And we're learning, and we've been taught really something about it. So that's our meditation for today.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Sing a song.
Yeah.
What do you want?